Did U.S. cases and deaths drop after the national vaccination campaign began? Dr. Fauci and the vaccine lobby began an opportunistic campaign of deception by claiming credit for their jabs when COVID-19 deaths dropped precipitously in mid-December 2020, just after the vaccine rollout began. But the first Pfizer jab had reached only 27 million Americans, about 8% of the population, by February 1st, and according to the CDC, the jab takes at least 60 days to provide protection. So vaccines had little, if anything, to do with the drop. By mid-April, only 31% of Americans were vaccinated, and even by June 15th, only 48% had been jabbed. The January drop-off was probably from natural herd immunity, thanks to the spread of natural infections over the previous year, and widespread use of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine following Pierre Corey's December 5th Senate testimony, and the proliferation of 6 nationwide telemedicine clinics and several large networks of independent physicians that began early treatment of about 1/4 to 1/3 of all new infections in January. Americans wouldn't see the true impacts of vaccines on U.S. mortalities until summer. But let's look for a moment at what happened in other countries with faster rollouts, less guileful regulators, and more scrupulous data collection and reporting. International databases, infection increases following COVID vaccines. Virtually all the countries that implemented rapid and aggressive COVID-19 vaccine campaigns experienced dramatic spikes in COVID infections. This documentation of increased susceptibility to COVID among highly vaccinated populations hints at the onset of the dreaded pathogenic priming in the months following mass vaccination. Gibraltar. The world's most vaccinated nation, Gibraltar, aggressively inoculated its 34,000 inhabitants, achieving 115% coverage. Officials also vaccinated Spanish tourists by July 2021. In December 2020, prior to the vaccine rollout, Gibraltar's health agency had experienced only 1,040 confirmed cases and 5 deaths from COVID-19. After the vaccination blitz, the number of new infections increased fivefold to 5,314, and the number of deaths increased 19-fold. Malta. Malta, another of Europe's vaccine champions, administered 800,000 doses to its 500,000 inhabitants, achieving vaccine coverage of nearly 84% over 6 months. But beginning in July 2021, the epidemic and fatalities surged, forcing the authorities to impose new restrictions and to admit that vaccination cannot shield the population from COVID. Iceland. By July 2021, Iceland vaccinated 80% of its 360,000 inhabitants with one vaccine and 75% with two. But by mid-July, new daily infections had risen from about 10 to about 120 before stabilizing at a rate higher than the pre-vaccination period. This sudden recurrence convinced Iceland's chief epidemiologist, Thorolfur Gudnason, of the impossibility of achieving herd immunity through vaccination. "It's a myth," he publicly declared. In Iceland, people no longer believe in herd immunity, according to oncologist and statistician Dr. Gerard de Lépine. Belgium. By June 2021, Belgium had vaccinated nearly 75% of its 11.5 million population with one jab and 65% with two. However, by the end of June 2021, new daily infections had risen from less than 500 to nearly 2,000. Belgian health officials acknowledged that the current vaccines cannot stop COVID nor protect Belgium's citizens. Singapore. Singapore vaccinated nearly 80% of the population of 5,703,600 with at least one dose by the end of July 2021. But in late August, the country faced an exponential resumption of the epidemic. Daily cases increased from about 10 in June to more than 150 at the end of July and 1,246 cases on September 24th. Britain. By July 2021, the United Kingdom had inoculated over 70% of its 67 million Brits with one shot and 59% with both. Nevertheless, by mid-July, Great Britain was suffering 60,000 new cases per day. Faced with record viral surges, Britain's leading vaccinologist Andrew Pollard, leader of the Oxford Vaccine Group, acknowledged before Parliament, collective immunity through vaccination is a myth. Even more worrying, British data compiled by Will Jones for the Daily Skeptic from August 2020 show a negative vaccine effectiveness of -53% for the over-40 age group. Reported infections are highest in the double vaccinated. This means that fully vaccinated individuals from this age group experienced a 53% higher reported infection rate than the unvaccinated that month. Rather than preventing cases, the vaccine may be enhancing transmission. This disproportionate number of vaccinated persons who seem to be sickening and dying strongly suggests that the world is beginning to see the predicted expression of pathogenic priming. Israel. Israel, champion of the Pfizer injection and pioneer of draconian mass vaccination mandates, inoculated 70% of its 9 million people with at least one shot and nearly 90% of those at risk with two by June 2021. Israel, which formerly boasted itself the template for ruthless vaccine efficiency, is now the global model for vaccine failure. The epidemic rebounded in Israel stronger than ever in July, with a national record of 11,000 new cases recorded in a single day, September 14, 2021, surpassing by nearly 50% the previous peaks in January 2021 during the outbreak following the first Pfizer injections. On August 1, 2021, the director of Israel's public health services, Dr. Sharon Alroy-Price, announced half of all COVID-19 infections were among the fully vaccinated. Signs of more serious disease among fully vaccinated are also emerging, she said, particularly in those over the age of 60. 68 nations and 3,000 U.S. counties. An October 3, 2021 study by scientists at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health compared vaccination rates for 68 nations and 2,947 counties across America as of September 21st and compared them to COVID-19 cases per 1 million people. Their report concludes that nations and counties with higher vaccination rates do not experience lower per capita SARS-CoV-2 cases. Pathogenic priming. COVID vaccines are linked to increased deaths and hospitalizations. By August 2021, Dr. Fauci, the CDC, and White House officials were reluctantly conceding that vaccination would neither stop illness nor transmission, but nevertheless, they told Americans that the jab would, in any case, protect them against severe forms of the disease or death. It's worth mentioning that HCQ and ivermectin could have accomplished this same objective at a tiny fraction of its price. Dr. Fauci and President Biden, presumably with Dr. Fauci's prompting, told Americans that 98% of serious cases, hospitalizations, and deaths were among the unvaccinated. This was a lie. Real-world data from nations with high COVID jab rates show the complete converse of this narrative. The resumption of infections in all those countries accompanied an explosion of hospitalizations, severe cases and deaths among the vaccinated. Mortalities across the globe, in fact, have tracked Pfizer's deadly clinical trial results, with the vaccinated dying in higher numbers than the non-vaccinated. These data cemented suspicions that the feared phenomenon of pathogenic priming has arrived and is now wreaking havoc. Gibraltar. Following its pioneering world record vaccine rollout, Gibraltar saw an immediate spike in deaths, suffering 2,853 fatalities per million inhabitants, a European per capita mortality record. During the first days of the rollout, which began with senior citizens, some 84 elderly died immediately after vaccination. Gibraltar's shell-shocked governor-general said it was the largest mortalities ever suffered in the nation, exceeding even those endured during World War II. England. Over a period of 7 months, preceding October 2021, some 60% of those 2,542 Brits who died from COVID were double vaccinated. Of people hospitalized in the UK for COVID in the last 7 months, 157,000 were double vaccinated. There were more per capita deaths among the fully vaccinated than the unvaccinated. The UK government's latest Office for National Statistics report on mortality rates by COVID vaccination status shows that for age-adjusted mortality rate, the death rate by October 2021 was higher among the vaccinated than the unvaccinated. Wales. According to October 2021 data from public health officials in Wales, UK, vaccinated individuals accounted for a shocking 87% of all new COVID hospitalizations. Only 80% of Welsh were then fully vaccinated. In other words, only 13% of severe cases that required a trip to the hospital were unvaccinated, suggesting that those who have taken the experimental vaccine are more likely to experience adverse reactions and become hospitalized from COVID-19. Scotland. In Scotland, official data on hospitalizations and deaths for October 2021 showed 87% of those who had died from COVID-19 in the third wave that began in early July were vaccinated. Only 70% of Scots were at the time fully vaccinated. Israel. In Israel, an increase in hospitalizations accompanied the epidemic's ferocious resumption. The vaccinated represented the majority of those hospitalized. By the end of July, some 71% of the 118 seriously and critically ill Israelis were fully vaccinated. This proportion of seriously ill people vaccinated is much higher than the proportion of fully vaccinated people, 61%. According to Israel's official report, August deaths were more frequent among fully vaccinated patients, 679, than among non-vaccinated patients, 390, belying official claims of a protective effect of the vaccine against dying. On August 5, 2021, Dr. Kobi Haviv, director of the Herzog Hospital in Jerusalem, reported on Channel 13 News that 95% of severely ill COVID-19 patients are fully vaccinated, and that vaccinated Israelis make up 85 to 90% of COVID-related hospitalizations overall. As the double vaccinated overwhelmed Israeli hospitals, the government announced in August a new plan for coping with its pandemic of the vaccinated. Israel said it will update its definition of full vaccination to require 3 or even 4 injections. "We are updating what it means to be vaccinated," said Israel's COVID czar, Salman Zarqa. Vermont. Vermont is America's most vaccinated state. On October 10, 2021, with 86% of its citizens fully vaccinated, according to COVID Dashboard, Vermont officials nevertheless reported the largest rate of infections ever and revealed that more than three-quarters of Vermont's September COVID-19 deaths occurred in the fully vaccinated. Unvaccinated accounted for only 8 of the state's 33 virus deaths that month, and officials declined to reveal whether those 8 were partially vaccinated. A department spokesman explained to LifeSite News that the breakthrough cases may reflect failing vaccine efficacy, as those who died were likely among the very first to be vaccinated. As hospitalizations approached the pandemic peak, September turned into Vermont's second deadliest month during the pandemic, according to the Associated Press. Cape Cod. In my own hometown in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, a CDC investigation of an outbreak in Barnstable County between July 6th through July 25th found 74% of those who received a diagnosis of COVID-19 and 80% of hospitalizations were among the fully vaccinated. COVID resurgence and soaring breakthrough cases have plagued most of heavily vaccinated New England, including Massachusetts, which has a vaccination rate nearly as perfect as Vermont's. COVID-19 cases were more than 4 times higher in the Bay State in September 2021 compared to the previous September. Half the deaths were among the fully jabbed, and with an unknown number among partially vaxxed. New England's COVID vaccine failure reflects an alarming national trend. A September report from the U.S. Department of Defense revealed that 71% of recent cases of those hospitalized for COVID-19 in late August were fully vaccinated. DOD did not explain how many of the remainder were partially vaccinated. Critics suggest that the shocking and predictable rise in COVID death following vaccination is evidence of long-feared pathogenic priming. Officials have offered no other compelling explanation as to why the vaccine consistently precipitates disproportionate injuries and deaths among the jabbed. It is not my intention to resolve this mystery here. If the listener would like to see a graphic representation of what was just discussed, country by country, please go to the Children's Health Defense website. The data trends those graphs illustrate clash dramatically with official narratives. For that reason, you will not see reports about this alarming phenomenon on mainstream media. The Johns Hopkins University Coronavirus Resource Center collated the data for these graphs. Johns Hopkins is a central support column of mainstream medicine and an aggressive promoter of COVID vaccines in particular. Johns Hopkins has received tens of millions of dollars from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and over $1 billion from Tony Fauci's NIAID and NIH. The Johns Hopkins data, nevertheless, clearly demonstrate that COVID deaths typically spike sharply in country after country immediately after mass vaccination. The South African physicians group PANDA has assembled the Johns Hopkins data for every nation in an easy-to-view video. PANDA's graphs illustrate this frightening dead zone that immediately followed vaccination drives in most of the world's nations. In the U.S., COVID vaccines caused record deaths. Despite CDC's efforts to hide the carnage in the U.S., even the dysfunctional VAERS system has recorded unprecedented waves of documented deaths following COVID vaccines. In 1976, U.S. regulators pulled the swine flu vaccine after it was linked to 25 deaths. In contrast, between December 14, 2020, and October 1, 2021, American doctors and bereaved families have reported more than 16,000 deaths and a total of 778,685 injuries to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, VAERS, following COVID vaccination. The Europeans' surveillance sites tallied 40,000 deaths and 2.2 million adverse reactions. Due to chronic undercounting by VAERS and its European sister system, those numbers are almost certainly only a fraction of the true injuries. Health workers have administered many billions of vaccines during the past 32 years, yet in just 8 months, the COVID vaccines have injured and killed far more Americans than all other vaccines combined over 3 decades. VAERS data show the huge spikes, 69.84% of deaths occurring during the 2 weeks after vaccination, 39.48% within 24 hours of the injections. According to CDC's fatality data, a COVID vaccine is 98 times more likely to kill than a flu vaccine. Other databases have, not surprisingly, yielded much higher projections of COVID vaccine deaths than VAERS. A recent peer-reviewed study in the High Gravitas Elsevier Journal Toxicology Reports found that COVID-19 vaccines kill more people in each age group than they save. According to that study, the best-case scenario is 5 times the number of deaths attributable to each vaccination versus those attributable to COVID-19 in the most vulnerable 65-plus demographic. Similarly, a September 2021 analysis by a team of prominent scientists and mathematicians convened by Silicon Valley entrepreneur Steve Kirsch of half a dozen population and surveillance system databases, including VAERS, using 8 different independent methods, attributes 150,000 deaths to COVID vaccines in the United States since January 2020. Kirsch has offered a $1 million reward for anyone who finds an error in this calculation. Kirsch's study, which found that the vaccines kill more people than they save in every age range, was consistent with Pfizer's 6-month clinical trial, finding that people who took the vaccine were more likely to die than people who didn't take the vaccine. There were a total of 20 deaths in the people who took the vaccine versus 14 deaths in the people who didn't take the vaccine. In yet another effort to calculate excess deaths from vaccinations from a non-VAERS database, Ohio-based attorney Thomas Renz used the Medicare database, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, to calculate that there have been 48,465 deaths among Medicare-Medicaid beneficiaries within 14 days of a first or second dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. There are about 59.4 million Americans covered by Medicare, representing only 18.1% of the population, so these staggering numbers are roughly comparable to Steve Kirsch's population-wide estimate of 150,000. How CDC hid the wave of vaccine deaths. According to Dr. Fauci, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the White House, and most mainstream media, we now have a pandemic of the unvaccinated, with 95% to 99% of COVID-related hospitalizations and deaths being attributed to the unvaccinated. As I mentioned above, these estimates are the product of systematic deception of the public, and presumably of the president, by America's top regulators. So how did CDC go about fooling President Biden? One of CDC's bold deceptions is to hide vaccine mortalities in U.S. data by counting all people as unvaccinated unless their deaths occur more than 2 weeks after the second vaccine. Ironically, CDC doubles down on this fraud by counting many of these vaccine deaths as COVID deaths. In this way, CDC captures that wave of deaths that occurs after vaccination and attributes them all to unvaccinated. This is only one of many statistical chicaneries that the CDC employs to hide vaccine injuries and to stoke public fears of COVID. The CDC utilized an even brassier canard to support President Joe Biden's claim that 98% of vaccine hospitalizations and deaths were among the unvaccinated. In an August 5th video statement, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky inadvertently revealed the agency's principal gimmick for fabricating that statistic. Walensky sheepishly admitted that CDC included hospitalization and mortality data from January through June 2021 in its calculation. The vast majority of the U.S. population were, of course, unvaccinated during that time frame, so it makes sense that almost all hospitalizations would therefore be only among the unvaccinated. This is simply because there were almost no vaccinated Americans during that time period. By January 1st, only 0.4% of the U.S. population had received a COVID shot. By mid-April, an estimated 37% had received one or more shots, and as of June 15th, only 43.34% were fully vaccinated. Using these data was therefore pretty blatant fraud. Of course, CDC never let on that it was foisting 8-month-old data on Americans, allowing us instead to believe that these were current hospitalization rates as of August. To compound this flim-flam, CDC perpetuated an even more audacious hustle. CDC omitted the current, as of August, data related to hospitalizations from the Delta variant, which disproportionately hospitalized vaccinated individuals in those other countries for which we have more reliable data. CDC's promotion of this statistical bunko was obviously grossly misleading. Assuming President Biden wasn't deliberately lying to the American people, it's clear that CDC was lying to President Biden and using him to dupe the rest of us. COVID vaccines, other injuries. Despite the obstacles to reporting, VAERS recorded nearly 800,000 injuries by the 9.5 months between December 14, 2020 and October 2021, with 112,000 classified as serious. Pfizer either did not report several severe injuries, short of death, or deceptively de-emphasized their severity during clinical trials, including neurological harm, thrombocytopenia, blood clots, strokes, embolisms, aneurysms, myocarditis, Bell's palsy, Guillain-Barré syndrome, multi-organ failure, amputation, blindness, paralysis, tinnitus, and menstrual harms. More than 30,000 women in the UK and 6,000 in the US have complained of the latter. On September 28th, a scientific journal, JAMA Neurology, reported a new series of cases of cerebral venous sinus thrombosis, CVST, linked to COVID-19 vaccines, confirming the severity of the reaction and the associated high mortality rate, and another journal confirmed the resumption of hepatitis C in a patient related to the jab. The numbers of and diversity of these serious injuries probably continue to be dramatically underreported. Steve Kirsch has investigated several broad deceptions Pfizer used to conceal injuries to the vaccine group during its clinical trial. We know, for example, due to the courage of Maddie Desgarais and her parents, that Maddie, a 14-year-old who participated in the Pfizer trial, suffered severe neurological injuries, including seizures and permanent paralysis. However, Pfizer reported only that Maddie suffered a stomachache. The Pfizer vaccine only gained emergency authorization for use in children because Pfizer manipulated trial data and committed serious offenses, like hiding Maddie Desgarais's injury. Given that Maddie was only one of 2,300 teenagers in Pfizer's trial, her injury was potentially very significant. By extrapolating a 1 in 2,300 injury rate to the 86 million teens who Pfizer and Dr. Fauci have targeted for vaccination, some 36,000 of these potentially debilitating injuries could be expected to develop nationwide. While COVID may kill old people, the vaccine, in Maddie's case, shows it also kills and harms the young. Pfizer's clinical data predicted potentially fatal myocarditis in 1 in every 318 teens. Post-marketing data confirm astronomically high rates of myocarditis injuries. On October 1, 2021, a team of medical researchers and statisticians found that myocarditis rates reported in VAERS were significantly higher in teens than Pfizer had reported in its clinical data. According to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, there have been 7,537 cases of myocarditis and pericarditis reported following COVID vaccines, with 5,602 cases attributed to Pfizer. Some 476 of these reports occurred in children from 12 to 17 years old. According to an article in Current Trends in Cardiology, within 8 weeks of the public offering of COVID-19 products to the 12 to 15-year-old age group, we found 19 times the expected number of myocarditis cases in the vaccination volunteers over background myocarditis rates for this age group. But even these alarming numbers may underreport myocarditis injuries. Israeli data and U.S. data presented to CDC's Advisory Committee on June 23, 2021, similarly found the rate of reported cases of myocarditis in vaccinated teenage boys aged 12 to 17 is at least 25 times greater than expected and is 50 times greater than the reported rate in vaccinated males over 65. These astonishing numbers mean myocarditis is far from a rare side effect, as Dr. Fauci and Pfizer like to claim. Nor is it harmless. A recent study suggests that myocarditis is associated with a 50% mortality within 5 years. A teen had effectively zero risk of dying from COVID and a substantial risk of death from vaccination. In October 2021, Sweden, Denmark, and Finland announced that they will pause the use of Moderna's COVID vaccine for children under 18 years of age after increased reports of inflammatory diseases like myocarditis and pericarditis. That same week, Iceland banned Moderna's jab outright due to heart inflammation risk. Furthermore, the VAERS data may also be dramatically underreporting myocarditis and other injuries. Just before I published this book in late October 2021, FDA made an extraordinary admission in a letter to Pfizer to explain the chronic underreporting of serious but common vaccine-induced injuries and deaths. FDA at last admitted that VAERS is worthless for detecting vaccine injuries. "We have determined that an analysis of spontaneous post-marketing adverse events," VAERS reports, "reported under Section 505(k)(1) of the FDCA, Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, will not be sufficient to assess known serious risks of myocarditis and pericarditis and identify an unexpected serious risk of subclinical myocarditis. Furthermore, the pharmacovigilance system that FDA is required to maintain under Section 505(k)(3) of the FDCA is not sufficient to assess these serious risks. At best, this letter is a shocking acknowledgement that regulators have no way to assess whether their vaccines are killing and injuring more humans than they are helping. In any rational regulatory environment, FDA's alarming admission would demand an instantaneous cessation of the vaccine rollout. Only Dr. Anthony Fauci can answer the question. Why, given FDA's stunning confession that America has no functional surveillance system, did HHS not immediately stop the COVID vaccine rollout? The answer, of course, is that Dr. Fauci knows that America's bought, brain-dead, and scientifically illiterate media will never force him to answer this query. Waning vaccines. Compounding concerns over FDA's confession that Americans have no way to assess the risks from COVID vaccines is the uncontestable proof that COVID vaccine efficacy drops precipitously almost immediately after vaccination. Pfizer and FDA may have opted to end the company's clinical trial after 6 months. The optional plan was a 3-year trial ending in December 2023. After realizing that the vaccine was causing significant harms and that its fast waning efficacy would make a cost-benefit analysis unsupportable if the study continued. In other words, the injury axis almost immediately crosses the benefits axis. An October 3, 2021 study in the peer-reviewed journal BioArchive by Stanford and Emory University scientists suggests that antibody levels generated by the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine can suffer a tenfold decrease 7 months after the second vaccination. The scientists warn that the precipitous drop in antibody levels will compromise the body's ability to defend itself against COVID-19 if the individual is exposed to COVID. A second study published the same week confirms that the immune protection offered by 2 doses of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccine drops off after only 2 months. Another government-funded study in October confirms the decline in vaccine effectiveness in England, finding that the reduction in transmission declined over time since second vaccination, for Delta reaching similar levels to unvaccinated individuals by 12 weeks for the AstraZeneca vaccine, and attenuating substantially for Pfizer. In other words, within just 3 months, AstraZeneca did nothing to prevent transmission, and Pfizer was scarcely better. The study appearing in The Lancet confirms that vaccine effectiveness against infection disappears so fast that it is ephemeral. The heavily powered study involved 3,436,957 Kaiser Permanente Southern California customers and compared infections and COVID-19-related hospital admissions of fully vaccinated to unvaccinated people over the age of 12 for up to 6 months. The researchers found that vaccine effectiveness against infection plummeted from 88% during the first month after double vaccination to 47% after 5 months. The researchers found vaccine effectiveness against Delta infection was 93% during the first month after double vaccination, but dropped to 53% after 4 months. This information should sicken every doctor who has ever given one of these jabs to a trusting patient. It means that these products confer no benefits to individuals or society, and their long-term costs are foreboding and largely unknown. How could this have happened? Vaccinating children is unethical. Our collective nausea can only amplify when we ask, why are we vaccinating children? Kirsch's model estimates that 600 children have already died from COVID vaccines as of September 2021. A recent Lancet study shows that a healthy child has zero risk for COVID, suggesting that most of these kids are dying unnecessarily. Some 86% of children suffered an adverse reaction to the Pfizer COVID vaccine in clinical trial, and 1 in 9 children suffered a serious reaction, grave enough to leave them unable to perform daily activities. How can we then justify forcing a healthy child to take a vaccine that is dead certain to injure many and kill some while bestowing no benefits? How can anyone consider it ethical, asks Kirsch, to put a child at risk for the pretext that it might shield an adult? Show me any adult who thinks this is okay, and I'll show you a monster. COVID-19 vaccines have caused cardiac arrest, blindness, and paralysis in American children. British Health Service reports emergency calls for cardiac arrest are at an all-time high since the government began offering teens the COVID-19 vaccine. COVID vaccines do not protect children from hospitalization or death associated with COVID-19 because healthy children are not being hospitalized or dying with COVID-19, NHS statistics. Children will not gain anything from having the jab because the vaccines do not prevent infection or transmission, as in 3 recent studies published by the CDC, UK government, and Oxford University. There is no evidence that the vaccines have prevented a single child's death. Troubling statistics from Britain's Office for National Statistics, ONS, verify the expected. Deaths among teenagers during the summer of 2021 increased significantly over the previous year, coinciding with the vaccine rollout. According to an analysis by the expose's Will Jones, between weeks 23 and 37 in 2021, simultaneous with the vaccine rollout, there were 252 deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds in England and Wales, compared to 162 in the same period in 2020, an increase of 90 or 56%, a very high number that deserves some kind of explanation. Importantly, there is no similar rise among younger children aged 1 to 14, a cohort that was not vaccinated. Instead, 2020 was a low mortality year for this age group. COVID cannot be blamed for the sudden rise in deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds in summer 2021, as the Office of National Statistics data shows that, over the period, there were only 9 deaths with COVID in that age group. This real-world evidence suggests that over the summer, the vaccines killed 9 times as many 15 to 19-year-olds as COVID did, 81 versus 9. If not, asks Jones, what are the other possible explanations, and how likely are they? Teen deaths among 15 to 19-year-olds have increased by 47% in the UK since they started getting the COVID-19 vaccine, according to official ONS data. Since the vaccine almost certainly causes more teen deaths and injuries than COVID-19, vaccinating this age group is highly unethical, and any physician who inoculates a healthy child is committing serious medical malpractice. Nevertheless, Anthony Fauci is urging that kids will be vaccinated in schools without parental consent, despite a mountain of evidence that the COVID-19 vaccines are killing American children and bestow on them no benefit. Media censors reports of vaccine deaths. Most Americans are unaware of all this carnage because the mainstream and social media companies immediately scrub injuries reported by doctors, victims, and families. Media outlets like CNN and the New York Times ignore the tsunami of vaccine injuries and deaths while reflexively inflating those deaths they can blame on COVID. As part of a broad propaganda agenda, they report, with seeming glee, the occasional COVID death among the unvaccinated. Illustratively, on September 10, 2021, an ABC affiliate in Detroit solicited stories on its Facebook page about unvaccinated people who had died from COVID. Instead, the network got something they did not want. More than 230,000 messages containing heartbreaking stories of injuries and deaths from vaccines. None of these communications were reporting deaths among the unvaccinated. Readers shared the post over 200,000 times in 10 days. Vaccinated are equally likely to spread COVID. Dr. Fauci's official theology makes the unvaccinated America's national scapegoat, holding that they are more likely to spread disease and therefore should not be allowed to participate in civic life. The data across multiple sources and studies depicts a very different reality. In July 2021, the CDC found that fully vaccinated individuals who contract the infection have as high a viral load in their nasal passages as unvaccinated individuals who get infected. This means the vaccinated are just as infectious as the unvaccinated. Another study from Indonesia supported this observation, noting that vaccinated individuals carry 251 times the viral loads of Delta and other mutant variants than they did in the pre-vaccine era. Simply put, as Dr. Peter McCullough observed, each vaccinated person is now a kind of typhoid Mary for COVID, spreading concentrated viral loads of vaccine-resistant mutants to vaccinated and unvaccinated alike. CDC acknowledges that vaccinated individuals carry at least as many COVID germs in their noses as the unvaccinated. CDC cited this revelation to justify its August 2021 mask mandate. An October 2021 investigation by Israel's medical authorities of a COVID-19 outbreak in a highly vaccinated population of health workers at the Meir Medical Center in Sheba recorded 23.3% of patients and 10.3% of staff infected, despite a 96.2% vaccination rate among exposed individuals. Moreover, the researchers recorded multiple transmissions between two fully vaccinated individuals, both wearing surgical masks and in one instance using full PPE, including N95 mask, face shield, gown, and gloves. Please go to the Children's Health Defense website for the acknowledgments and notes by chapter, updates to data, and new information that becomes available on any of the subject matter covered in this book.